Thanks, Eileen. Thank you very much.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Enjoy the show.
Thanks, Dermot. Good afternoon. On this Tuesday afternoon, it's day 20, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. A very strange day in here. And you may have noticed that over the last 20 days, when we've been on, we've ignored the elephant in the room. And that's for good reason, because we decided to do so, to give you a break from it and to give ourselves a break from it. And just to let you know that what's going on in the world is taking a big toll on people in here. And the fallout, the shockwaves will be felt for a long time to come in here. And I'm concerned, genuinely concerned about some people in here, because it's all encompassing and it's very oppressive. It's in here, it's in the papers, it's when they go home and talk to their family and friends. It's just non-stop. Anyway, So we're this oasis of something between 3 and 4:30. 51551 ray@rte.ie. Now, we got an email on Monday into the show about a photograph taken on Saturday at the first All-Ireland hurling final between Limerick and Galway. And we were successful. Yay, the power of radio. Just a quick email to say thanks for the photo shout-out yesterday. Lots of people heard the plea and we tracked the photographer down. Dennis O'Brien from Ballyhahill. That's a great name. And the Weekly Observer paper was the man. We had a great chat. A true, genuine gentleman. Thanks again. Really appreciate all the help. Another photo to add to the wall. So many people texted and rang and the jigsaw piece was eventually solved. We feel very grateful to be able to savour these golden years after so many years of heartbreak in Limerick. They're going for the four in a row. The roar for four. The soar for four. And that's Katrina and Maura Ryan. I think Katrina was the emailer and Maura was in the photograph and they just wanted to get their hands on that. And they did, which is brilliant. And we're glad to be of assistance. The thing about radio in Ireland is, like, all radio is local radio. I know we're a national radio station, but we act oftentimes like local radio. And you might remember last week, well, you probably don't because probably you don't pay attention, but we were talking on the show at the beginning of the show about an American TikToker called Noel Biaskin. And he caused a bit of a stir online when he wore a Kerry GAA jersey and he had people speculating just how much of an influence normal people had on fashion choices of Americans. That's what they were saying. He makes videos where he asks random questions to strangers. And in this instance, he was on a park bench in New York. He was asking about the most random thing someone has seen in New York. Anyway, it was him wearing the Kerry jersey that was described as random by a lot of people. We got onto him and he emailed us back. He did, the man in the Kerry jersey. And he says, "Hey there, Niamh. Nice to meet you." Well, he didn't. He was just emailing. "Thanks for reaching out. Thanks for the question. I'm amused by all the interest this is getting. I come from a very Irish family, as my dad is an immigrant and so are my mum's parents. Aha. We visit family back in Ireland whenever we can. And since I was a young teenager, I've loved GAA jerseys and I like to get one each time I go. I have a Cavan jersey and a Derry jersey because that's where my family are from. I just got the Kerry jersey because I like the colours really. No major significance behind it. Hope that helps. Don't hesitate to reach out about anything in the future. Noel B, as in Noel Biaskin." That's great. I think his name is Noel Doherty. Well, we'll ask a question of you today, just like Noel asks of the people he meets in New York. And it is about your fondest memories of your childhood summer holidays. They did a survey in the UK. And it's sort of mining the nostalgia around summer holidays. And we were asking upstairs and I offered up my mother's salad, which I've very vivid memories, and I can even see it now in front of me. It's what we ate of an evening back in the summers of the 70s, and it was the beetroot seeping into the hard-boiled egg and the little mound of cold baked beans and the limp salad and the scallions from Page's garden across the way and the cold ham and the cold corned beef. And I'm probably missing something out now, but I think that was it. That was it. And we were asking Niamh. Niamh's producing the show today. She says it's going to Sea Point Leisure Centre in Salt Hill in Galway to play the tuppence or the two pence coin pusher machines. Ah, yeah. And Cormac has a distinct memory of the smell of the bog from his childhood summers. Gilly has a vivid memory of the taste of Club Lemon down in Castletown in Wexford. And Neil remembers running across a golf course in Donegal to get to the beach. So there you go. So share, please, your childhood summer holiday memories with us today. 51551 or ray at rte.ie. The aforementioned Eve is very excited about the Barbie movie that's coming 21st of July. It's going to be in the cinemas, starring Margot Robbie and Ryan Gosling. I think I said Ryan Reynolds last week. It's Ryan Gosling, which is a difference because I think Ryan Gosling is probably a better singer than Ryan Reynolds. Anyway, to whet our appetites, they've released a video of Ryan Gosling, who plays Ken, singing his heart out. In this, he's lamenting the fact that he is playing second fiddle to Barbie. Of course, that's always going to be the case, isn't it? But anyway, in this clip from the movie, Ryan Gosling as Ken singing "I'm Just Ken."
I just don't know who I am without you.
You're Ken.
But it's Barbie and Ken. There is no just Ken.
Doesn't seem to matter what I do. I'm always number two. No one knows how hard I tried. I have feelings that I can't explain. They're driving me insane. All my life been so polite. Cause I'm just kidding. Anywhere else I'd be a 10.
I'm just Ken. Anywhere else I'd be a 10. That's a classic line. The soundtrack was produced by Mark Ronson, and he's the man who did Amy Winehouse's seminal album Back to Black. He also produced Bruno Mars and loads of other people. He's a real talent. Guns N' Roses guitarist Slash plays on that. I didn't hear it quite there. That's not the full song, obviously. And Gosling's no stranger to singing. He was in La La Land. And he used to be in a band called Dead Man's Bones. But 99% on Rotten Tomatoes, has it got? 100% the Barbie movie has got on Rotten Tomatoes. So 21st is when that's hitting the cinemas here. Still in the cinema, Cillian Murphy has said that his next character will not be a smoker. The premiere of Oppenheimer is happening in Dublin this weekend. He plays the titular, is that what they call it, titular? The title role, J. Robert Oppenheimer. And he's indicated that he no longer wishes to accept roles where his character smokes due to health concerns. So he was, of course, Thomas Shelby in Peaky Blinders, smoker. J. Robert Oppenheimer, big smoker. And as a result, Cillian Murphy has had to smoke herbal cigarettes while portraying both characters. And in an interview with The Guardian, he said, "I smoked so many fake cigarettes for Peaky and Oppenheimer, my next character will not be a smoker. They can't be good for you. Even herbal cigarettes have health warnings now." So that's producers, take note. Cillian Murphy wants a non-smoking part. I'm really looking forward to that. The trailer looks amazing. And I think he's in town for the premiere this Saturday. I think it's Saturday anyway. Oppenheimer, starring Cillian Murphy. Did you get the tinned Heinz potato salad, Ray? No, we didn't. My dad used to make coleslaw, very good coleslaw. No potato salad, but really high quality homemade coleslaw. Eating soggy tomato sandwiches at the beach with a flask of tea, says Mary in Kilkenny. Yeah, bananas and tomatoes, they're not really good fillings for sandwiches unless you're going to eat them immediately. They just tend to, you know, soak up things, so not good. Swimming in the outdoor swimming pool, seawater in Dungarvan, and a treat of a trip to the Cunningar, is it? Or Keneally's boat on a Sunday. That's Colette McGrath's childhood summer memories. Keep them coming in. 51551 ray at rte.ie. Good afternoon. Where is it now? There's the cursor. Click it. There. The great Stevie Wonder, Isn't She Lovely? 51551 ray at rte.ie. The childhood summer memories are flying in. Neil says, grew up in the Liberties, early 80s summer project. They would bring us out to Bray, bag of chips smothered in salt and vinegar. Mmm, nice. And the smell as well. One of my favourite childhood memories, says Vanessa Dooley, is crab fishing on our summer holidays down in Cahore. Cahora Strand of an evening, then racing them down the slipway and straight after that into the Strand Bar for chicken Kiev and chips. Oh, there's chicken Kiev. You're pure posh now with your chicken Kiev. Planning on bringing my kids down over this summer. That's Vanessa. It's nice to relive your childhood memories, if you can, in the company of your own children. Holidays in the 60s in Bettystown, secretly climbing out the bedroom window to get an early morning swim with the best waves, also walking to the local shop in our bare feet for an ice cream cone. Later holidays in Dunabate, running across the golf course in our togs to get to the water. Great memories. Far! Yeah, you want to be careful crossing golf courses. My holiday memories, running to the river with large car tubes and floating down the river with my brothers and cousins. Freedom for all. Spent all my summer in Buncrana. Buncrana, like I'm so enamoured and infatuated by Buncrana after our visit there at the beginning of our 5K runs. My summer memories is my mum sitting on a Foxford blanket with dad listening to the Hurling while we were at the beach in the Burren. Thanks for the memories. That's Owen from Limerick. And that would have been with Micheál O'Hare, or Micheál Muirahertig, I'd say, doing the commentary. I remember doing the hay and driving the tractor out here in Kilcock. Not much land left out here now with all the houses, says Mick. And I remember having summer halls in Ireland before we moved back from the UK. My mother would tell us we could play out safely until 11, as it was still bright, the longest beautiful days, with fresh bread, lettuce and scallion sandwiches, loads of salt. Ah, scallion sandwiches, there you go, loads of salt. You wouldn't get a kiss after a scallion sandwich, though. No. Swarms of ladybirds coming in from the Irish Sea in Butlin's 1970s and thousands of them in the outdoor pools, says Niall. That's a memory. Days were so long and hot. Remember when tar on the road was bubbling? Ah, yes. Or tar would be on your sandals. That's Martina. Remember there'd be a shower and the steam would rise up from the tarmac road and that lovely smell of summer. I don't know what the science behind it is, where the evaporation of the water on the road and that smell, lovely summer smell. Periwinkles and Ballybunions, says Padraigín, and bringing a teapot to Tramore and buying the hot water. That's great. Final one for the moment, keep them coming in. I have great memories of going to Spittle, a great place to take seven children. No shops. Mam would cook two chickens the night before and pack the tomatoes, scallions, bread, Heinz spread and a tablecloth for the picnic. Table. My dad travelled on the roof. No, he didn't travel on the roof. He made the travel on the roof rack. Oh, yes. Peugeot 304 with seven children. Mam, dad, auntie, Mary, granny and Uncle Joe. Great times. You didn't get them all into a Peugeot 104. The Lampoon's Vacation. That's what that sounds like. Do you know what's common to all those? Nobody says spring onions. There were always scallions back in the day, weren't there? No spring onions then. None of that posh stuff. Okay, we're looking for two people to come on after 4 o'clock and take part in our Whodunna quiz. Yeah, three questions on all sorts of things and there will be clues and you know the rules by now. And there is a prize and this is the important thing. A great prize. These are great prizes. So it's a two-night stay for two adults in the Ainua Collection's Dublin One Hotel. It's a stylish and central hotel based on the North Circular Road in Dublin. It's perfect and ideal for exploring Dublin city centre this summer. You'll be treated to breakfast each morning and dinner in the hotel's botanical restaurant. And we're also throwing in tickets for the Big Grill, which is happening from the 7th. I'll start again. It's happening from the 17th to the 20th of August with over 60 chefs, restaurants and barbecue experts from all over the world. So two tickets for that as well. Dublin1hotel.com and biggrillfestival.com. Here is your qualifying question on this Tuesday afternoon. Cork actor Cillian Murphy is the star of which upcoming movie, Oppenheimer or Barbie? Cork actor Cillian Murphy is the star of which upcoming movie, Oppenheimer or Barbie? 0818 715 925. That's 0818 715 925.
The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Here's a question for you. Can we hear silence? Well, that's a question that philosophers have debated for years, centuries. And now research from the Johns Hopkins University in Maryland shows that our brain does actively perceive silence in the same way it hears that. Professor of Philosophy and Psychological and Brain Sciences, Ian Phillips, is a co-author of a new study and he's on the line now. How are you doing, Ian?
I'm great, Ray. Great to be here.
Yeah, good to talk to you. I'm fascinated by this, absolutely fascinated. How long has your study been going?
So we've been running this study 2 years, although I guess as a philosopher, I've been fascinated by this question for now about 10 years. So it's been great to have this chance to work with some scientists to try and settle it.
I suppose people at home are going, well, who cares? Why does it matter? And why does it matter?
Well, I mean, one answer to that question is some people really do care. It's just really interesting to think about what we hear. Lots of people find it fascinating. So for me, that's enough. Mm. But I think it actually does turn out to have implications for lots of debates in cognitive science about, you know, how we should distinguish between what it is to perceive something or what it is just to think about something.
Yeah.
And, you know, one idea that people have had is like you can think about what's not there, but you can't see what's not there. And our results kind of make that a bit murkier, I think.
Okay. And I've noticed, it's like, you know, because we deal with sound on radio. And for example, if I said to somebody, you know, we're going to stay silent for whatever reason for 30 seconds, it seems to go on forever.
Yeah.
So silence interferes with our perception of time.
Yeah.
Right. Explain why that is the case, or do you know?
Well, I guess I don't know exactly what's going on, although I think in ways one of the things about silence is you can almost think of it as a matter of hearing time passing. I do think our ears are... Tom Stoppard says that silence is the sound of time passing, and I think that's a lovely little quote.
Mm. People would be familiar with optical illusions where things that are two-dimensional look three-dimensional. And you think that silence plays similar tricks with our brain when it comes to time.
Yes, so just like in vision, there are illusions with hearing, like auditory illusions, and sounds can play tricks with, you know, time. So stretch things out, things sound longer than they really are. And the kind of work we've done trying to show that we really do hear silence has used the idea, well, if we find those same kind of distortions of time driven by silences, then maybe that's some evidence that we really do hear silences too.
Aha, you see, that's, yeah. So there are existing, or there were existing experiments using sound.
Exactly.
Yeah, and the perception of time. And if silence affects the brain the same way, well, then we actually, you know, the implication then is that we hear silence.
Yeah.
Right.
If it does exactly the same thing as sounds do, then that's some pretty good evidence the brain is treating the absence of sounds in the same way that it's treating
sound.
The sounds.
That was your hypothesis.
We're
going to do an experiment in the moment, which is brilliant. So I'm going to get people ready for that. This is an experiment that you've done as part of your studies. You're going to lead us through it. We'll do that in a second. Just to let you know, Ian, that when we were talking about doing experiments with silence on the radio, we were alerted to the fact that if we play more than 10 seconds of silence, and that's all that I actually say, play 10 seconds of silence on the radio, that this sort of robo-jock kicks in and they play music automatically. So because we're so uncomfortable. We're so uncomfortable with silence, though, aren't we?
Yeah. And I mean, I've heard in some cases that, you know, long periods of silence on the radio, you know, some, maybe it's an urban myth, like are a sign that everything has gone terribly wrong in the country. So I hope nothing like that will happen. But
no.
our experiments don't use 10 seconds, slightly shorter periods.
Okay. Okay. So people at home, if you want to be involved in this little experiment, which was used by Professor Ian Phillips from the Johns Hopkins University in Maryland and his colleagues, to explore the effect of silence on our perception of time. Ian is going to talk us through it now. Over to you, Ian.
Okay, so in the original illusion we used, that's called the one is more illusion, the finding was that one long beep sounds longer than two short beeps, even though both sequences are exactly the same length. Mm-hmm. So in our version, we're swapping out those sounds, those beeps, for silences. So what you're going to hear first is you're going to be immersed in like a noisy restaurant, and it's going to sound like you're in a restaurant. And then interrupting that they're going to be two sequences. The first one is going to be two discrete silences separated by a brief burst back of that restaurant. Second, then, you're going to hear a single continuous silence. And all you need to do is just take notice of which sequence sounds longer to you. Is it the two separated silences or is it the one continuous silence? And okay,
yeah,
and then that's it.
Yeah, this is brilliant. We're doing a national experiment. Right. Okay.
This is wonderful. Yeah.
So you have to try and monitor. I'm speaking to our listeners now. You have to try and just what do you perceive? You just write it down on a piece of paper how long the silence was. The first two together, add them up, and then the second one as a continuous silence. What do you think the duration of that was as well? Okay. So here we are, immersing ourselves in some atmos from a restaurant and wait for the silences. Here we go. Okay. Yeah. Well, to me, because we obviously can't ask our listeners because they're at home and in their cars, etc. Definitely the second one sounded longer to me.
Perfect. That is exactly what I wanted to hear.
Oh, right,
that's what
okay.
most of our participants thought exactly the same, that the one sounded longer than the two. And that's, in fact, exactly the same proportion thought that as had thought that the one sound had sounded longer than the two in the original illusion.
Right.
And so, the same effect.
Those two bits of silence that I heard first, they were the exact same duration as the one long one.
Yeah, including the bit in the middle. So.
Oh, right. Yes, Right. Yeah, it's an odd thing, silence, isn't it? What is there, like, this isn't in the brief, but I'm just going to ask you anyway. What's the evolutionary thing on silence? You know, I'm just wondering about, you know, our ancestors roaming the plains and hunting wildebeest and living in caves and silence in their world.
Yeah, I think it's a great question. I mean, I would have imagined that their world would, of course, have sounded pretty different to ours.
Mm.
Maybe there would have been a bit more silence, although it's actually kind of impossible to hear absolute silence because, you know, our bodies are all making bits of noise. But maybe, you know, if you're thinking about being alert for dangers or being aware of something, you know, good or bad about to happen, you really need to, when there's nothing happening, be really paying attention to what might be about to.
Yeah. The other thing is, as you sort of alluded to there, it's more difficult in the modern world to be in a completely silent environment, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I think people really crave it and they go on retreats or, you know, really try and put on noise cancelling headphones if they have them to screen it out. So I think people's interest in silence is partly, you know, desperation sometimes to find a bit of it.
Yeah. I'm wondering, is there any long-term, you know, medical, psychological health effect of not enjoying silence? You know, I wonder what the long-term effect of that is. You know, because we constantly fill our days, don't we, with noise. TVs, Spotify, TikTok, you know, voice notes, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And I'm wondering what long-term effect that's having on us.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. And I really don't know immediately of any particular studies, but I can definitely imagine that it can have all sorts of effects on our capacity to attend or our capacity to relax and, you know, feel less stressed, to be constantly surrounded by stimulation, because it's going to be constantly activating you and getting various bits of your brain going, and maybe you need them to give them a bit of a rest occasionally.
Yeah. Finally, Ian, I think Paul Simon probably will be sending you an email to say thank you very much. Because attached to all the articles I read about your work is the reference to Simon and Garfunkel's Sound of Silence. So we play a bit of that out. Professor Ian Phillips from the Johns Hopkins University in Maryland, thanks so much for talking to us today. Thank you.
Lovely. Thanks so much, Ray.
The world of silence.
Sound of Silence, Simon and Garfunkel. Now, we're looking for two people to come on at 4 o'clock and take part in our quiz. Our qualifying question today: Cork actor Cillian Murphy is the star of which upcoming movie, Oppenheimer or Barbie? Great prize, a weekend for two in the Dublin One Hotel, part of the iNua collection. It's there in the North Circular Road and an ideal location for exploring Dublin city centre this summer. And the number 0818715925, 0818715925. Childhood memories of summer. Lovely ones. Ray, no one had better summers than we did. We lived in Haulbowline Island. My dad was a CPO, Naval Service. We swam every day. There was the open sea and we also had a swimming pool. The pool was whitewashed and filled with seawater, though huge pumps. All the kids spent hours there. A swimming gala was held too. We lived about 2 minutes from the pool. Had to be called in for our tea. Great happy memories of the people and the island. It was always home. Cheers, Christine McCarthy in County Cork. Sounds idyllic. And Ray, help my uncle bring in the hay. Or it says on the hay, in the hay. Sitting back on the hay cart on the way home and being heartbroken when I was too big to sit there anymore. Tea in cans and scones with butter and jam. Heaven. That's Gabriel. And summer memories, bringing a girl to hook head with a cooked chicken, which a dog ran off with before we had a bite. Then getting drenched by a freak wave. These are brilliant. Thank you so much. Just what the doctor ordered. First holiday abroad, my mother packed a full cooked ham in the suitcase. We brought a sliced pan and ate ham sandwiches for the week. I'm sure you're not allowed to do that anymore. I don't know. Can you bring cooked meat through? You probably can. Swimming on the beach with the radio blaring Come On Eileen by Dexy's Midnight Runners. Then going for ice cream. And Fiona says, oh, the memories. Trips in the family Ford Cortina estate. Mom, Dad, seven of us. My cousin Mark and friend Anya. Four of us sitting in the back with the picnic, pillows and blanket to make it comfy. Those were the good old days of the 70s, says Fiona Shields. Now we take a quick commercial break. 51551 Ray at RTE.ie.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Text 51551. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Yeah, and of course, summer memories will be wrapped up in festivals for a lot of people. And Forest Fest is happening in Emo in Laois later on this month. And it's the brainchild of our next guest, Philip Marr. How are you doing, Philip?
Hi, Ray. How are you? Thanks for having me in.
I better just tell people before we go on that you're a solicitor.
I am, yes.
Yes, yeah.
So for my sins.
Yeah. So you're not normally a sort of a festival organiser or a gig promoter. You are a solicitor.
Yes, solicitor is the normal day-to-day job. And I decided a number of years ago to go down this particular road. And it's working out pretty well. And looking forward to the festival.
Are you still soliciting?
Oh, I am. I came straight from the CCJ over here today. So, yeah.
Right, what's the CCJ?
The Courts of Criminal Justice.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Parkgate Street.
Right, okay. So how did the festival organising come about then for you?
Well, look, I suppose I always loved music. And a number of years, I've been going to festivals for 30 odd years. And just myself and a couple of friends noticed the last 5 years that a lot of festivals weren't really geared towards the older client, 35 plus. And particularly, I went to a couple of festivals last year and it felt on the Tuesday afterwards that I had climbed Crowpatrick four or five times. So we said we'd sit down and maybe put together a package that would cater for people that were primarily over 30 with families, but, you know, wanted better facilities, easier to get into, get out of, and just make it more accessible and easier for people. So that's what we've done.
So this is your second year.
Yes.
You would have planned to do it in 2020, was it?
Yeah. We initially launched the plans in 2019. We had our press launch for the 2020 event on the 13th of March 2020. Right. So, like, obviously, within a week, obviously that went.
Did you lose money as a result of that?
No.
No.
In fairness, all the acts were fantastic. All the technical people were fantastic. There was no issue and everybody stayed on board. And I think they really appreciated the fact that we let them keep their deposits. And they were absolutely dying to get going then last year. And we had a fantastic festival last July.
Yeah. So it's bigger and better this year?
Yeah.
Expanded?
Yeah.
Three-day festival,
Friday to the Sunday. Last year, we concentrated primarily on Irish acts, legends like The Stunning and Something Happens, Damien Dempsey and so forth. This year, we've gone for that as well, but we've also gone global and we're bringing in big international acts from the 80s, 90s and thousands, and also the best of new music as well.
Like, I'd say your 16-year-old, 17-year-old self is really excited.
Absolutely.
These are the ones you listen to.
Absolutely.
And now you're on the phone to them.
Yeah, I'm like a kid in a candy shop, generally. Like, even one of your listeners mentioned about summer memories earlier on about listening to Dexy's Midnight Runners. Right, yeah. Those are my summer memories.
Yes.
You know, running around guest houses and dancing to that kind of thing. And that's what we're going to be doing again next week.
So I've been to Emo before. It's a big old house.
Yeah, Emo Court, yeah.
Yeah, is there a sort of an amphitheatre in it, a natural amphitheatre? No.
There isn't, no. But the grounds are fantastic. Our event is taking place just beside that, literally within a stone's throw of it. It's on the same footprint, and the frame for our festival is the woods of Emo Court, basically, so hence the name Forest Fest.
Right. I'm looking at the lineup. Friday night, James, sit down or stand up, whatever you like. You'll have to stand up probably. Yeah. Nick Kershaw. Oh, wow, jeez. Yeah.
Wouldn't it be good?
Wouldn't it be good, yeah. Peter Hook and the Light. Peter Hook, New Order, Joy Division. Now, that's a big get, isn't it?
Absolutely. That's one in particular that I'm really looking forward to going to. He's an absolute legend, and I saw him at the Isle of Wight there a couple of weeks ago, and they are match fit. Absolutely fantastic band. So really looking forward to that.
Yeah. And then Sister Sledge, come on. Here we go.
Music. Everyone can see we're together as we walk on by. And we fly just like birds of a feather. I won't tell no lie. All of the people around us, they say, can they be that close? Just let me stay for
They had lost the music, as you say.
Yeah. The fantastic hits, Frankie. You know,
Frankie.
They're just great tunes. We have about, I think, 25 hen nights coming on the Saturday night. And just.
How do you know that?
Because they book it through me.
All right.
Yeah. And especially when they heard the Sister Sledge were coming, the likes of that very song there, they're all imagining just jumping around in groups and having a great time and with their disco boots on and so forth. So
In a big country,
yeah, they're coming in as well. Again, one of my absolute favourite bands from being a kid, like their poster was up on my wall.
Right.
So as I said, kid in a candy shop, when I got to do this, I said, big country, first on the team show.
Oh, here's this begs the question. Does your fandom colour your sort of business decision making?
In a way, it's a very good question. But really, I'm motivated by my own taste, effectively, I'm just taking a risk on it.
So you're going, I'm a 54-year-old solicitor with a dodgy hairline. I can say that because I have one too, and I hope that you enjoy the same music as I do. That's
basically it. And if you look at the list, I think you know it's a broad spectrum of stuff. So we have great acts. Yeah. Suzanne Vega is there as well. Well, I walked to your house in the afternoon. Butcher shop with a sawdust drone. Don't give away the goods too soon is what she might have told me. And I tried so hard to resist when you held me in your handsome fist and reminded me of the night we kissed and of why I should be leaving. Marlena watches from the wall. Her mocking smile says it all. She records the rise and fall of every soldier passing. But the only soldier now is me. I'm fighting things I cannot see. I think it's called my
You know, how do you get these people? Is it about relationships and do you have to create something before, you know, do they sort of stand aside, look at you for a year and then decide if they're going to do it or not?
Yeah, and you've hit the nail on the head. Basically, last year with the event that we did it at a very, very high standard, and people that knew an awful lot more and still know an awful lot more about this industry than I do, told me to do everything really, really well the first year, and that would then open some doors to talk to other people this year. And because we were able to send them, you know, videos from last year and production values from last year and so forth, that opened all the doors to those amazing bands, and they were very, very happy to come on board. When I'm lonely, well, I know I'm going to be the man who's lonely without you. And when I'm dreaming, well, I know I'm gonna dream about the time when I'm with you. When I go out, when I go out, well, I know I'm gonna be the man who goes along with you. And when I come home, yes, I know I'm gonna be the man who comes back home with you. I'm gonna be the man who's coming home with you.
Here we go, Philip. But I would walk 500 miles and I would walk 500 more than be the man who walks 1,000 miles to fall down at your door. Proclaimers on the Friday night, and you've a second stage this year.
Yeah, we've actually got four stages, but one of the four stages is the Forest Fla, and we're going to just shine a light on the best of up and coming traditional music, but also legends like Sharon Shannon, Paul Brady, Stockton's Wing, just amazing acts. So that's going to be just this centre of great crack, and I think it's going to get a bit crazy in there, to be honest with you. I'm really looking forward to it.
Right. We wouldn't normally do something like this, but you have a great story. You have a great story to tell, and it's there's such a passion.
Yeah. Well, thanks for having me on. Yeah. I'm just like really enthused about the whole thing, and like obviously it's such a divergence from what I would normally do.
Yeah.
I suppose maybe that makes it interesting for people, and I suppose people would think I'm a little bit crazy, but and they're probably right. But anyway,
we've met before.
We have. Yeah. The last memory of you was chasing your backside as you were scoring a great try.
Did I?
Yeah.
That must have been the only one I ever scored.
Yeah. Well, I used to play a lot of rugby against you, so like not too many lads can say they spent many's the Sunday chasing your backside through fields in Kildare.
God, if you have a memory of that, will you please tell me, because I have no memory of scoring a great try. But anyway, there you go.
We'll give it to you today anyway.
Yeah, thank you very much. So Forest Fest is the 21st to 23rd. It's Emo in County Leash. Brilliant lineup, and it's for, as you say, people over 35 and to whatever, all the way up. And great lineup, brilliant lineup.
Can I give a quick shout out to Bernie and Charlie from Montlody? They were our oldest participants last year, 85 years of age couple that have been going to concerts for 30 years,
right.
And every morning they had a 99 for breakfast. I hope they're listening in.
I want to be them when I grow up.
Literally, that's what I said.
Thanks, Philip. Thanks. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Tweet at Radio Ray RTE. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Petrichor, that's the smell that I talked about, according to Tom. He says, from the Greek petra, stone, and ichor, which is from Greek mythology, the fluid that flows in the veins of immortals. Reminds me of rainy summer childhood in Dublin too. Thanks for that, Tom. Petrichor, P-E-T-R-I-C-H-O-R. I hope I'm pronouncing it correctly. Now, a 19-metre long dead fin whale was washed up. You would have seen the pictures in the papers. It's on a beach near Ballynaskellig. It's become a bit of an attraction down there for tourists and locals. However, as you would imagine, as the days go on, their gargantuan mammal will start to decompose, and what happens next will be interesting. Sightings officer of the Irish Whale and Dolphin Group, Padraig Hooley, joins me now on the line. How are you doing, Padraig?
Hey, Ray. How are things?
Good to talk to you. Yeah. Is this the biggest ever, or nearly the biggest ever, or not?
Well, it's one of the bigger fin whales that we've had. We've recorded as stranded in Irish waters. But they can get bigger. They can get up to 25, 26, maybe 27 metres. But yeah, this is still within the adult length range of a fin whale, which is the second largest member of the whale family. So ergo, it's the second largest, you know, animal on the planet, full stop.
Yeah, and it died at sea and then was washed up, according to reports.
It would have done, yeah. It looks like it's fairly, you know, the decomposition has started. It's in poor enough condition, so it's probably dead a couple of weeks at this stage.
Mm. And should people be going down to have a look at it? I believe there's traffic jams.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. I mean, when we have strandings of whales, yeah, we always encourage family members and friends, especially to bring little ones down. I mean, it is probably a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for members of the public to see the second largest animal on the planet. I mean, obviously, as the days go on and the you know, the olfactory senses are challenged, you know, even more, that may not be possible, or it may be a little bit more difficult, because it is going to start to stink. But certainly, you know, it's not an opportunity that arises too often. So yeah, get down there. Obviously, be careful, and and you know, don't go sort of crossing private property, and just make sure it's safe. But there's no real reason at this stage why people shouldn't go and visit it.
Would the smell be unmanageable? Would it be that bad?
That depends on how sensitive your nose is and how close you want to get to it. I mean, you find people in these situations doing all sorts of really bizarre things, like, you know, getting within inches and, you know, poking it and sticking their nose in carcasses. You don't want to do that. No. We don't know what this animal died of, you know. So with any dead mammal, you know, you would treat it with a certain degree of respect. You know, you shouldn't touch it. You should probably wear a pair of latex gloves or something to put a little bit of distance between yourself and contact with the skin, because, you know, as you said, we don't know what it died of. It probably died of something quite natural, but, you know, best not to touch it. But yeah, they do stink, and as it starts to putrefy, you know, that's when the smell will get quite intense. But I would imagine if you're, you know, a couple of hundred yards away, you'd still smell it, you know.
And that picture was great. It was Frances O'Hare, who's a holidaymaker, and she stood beside it to give it scale. And that's oftentimes, because I was with you years and years ago going out taking pictures, and we got a picture of a fin whale, but it just looked like a small fish because there was no scale to it. There was no boat beside it or human being, but that was a huge thing. Now, I read somewhere that there may be an explosion. Is that correct?
Well, what could happen is, you know, like if you had a spot or a zit or a bad pustule or something like that, and you lanced it. Sorry, but I know this is awful stuff to discuss, but you could have sort of an eruption, if you like. And this is the same inside this. You know, you've got all the bacteria building up, and they're all releasing gases. Now, you know, they'll vent out naturally through the body itself, so you're not going to get a big explosion. I guess lots of people have seen the quite almost humorous videos on YouTube of exploding whales, but they're usually precipitated by somebody in a whaling station or somebody who's doing research on the whale sticking a long flensing knife into the internal organs of the whale, like puncturing the surface and then going into the organs. And of course, that's what precipitates this eruption, where all the gases all of a sudden have an exit point, and they're all focused towards this one exit point, and of course the entire body explodes. So, I mean, it's fairly regular. It does happen. But if the carcass is just left alone, those gases will probably just seep out naturally. Okay. And of course, that's where the smell is coming from.
And Padraig, is it any use to you now for your research?
As the Irish Whale and Dolphin Club, we have a scheme that's funded by the National Parks and Wildlife Service. It's called the Deep Diving and Rare Species Investigative Programme. What we really need for that, though, are fresh specimens. And the problem with this specimen is that it's not fresh. It's certainly not fresh enough to carry out a post-mortem examination, which would give us the cause of death of this whale. So you really do need an animal that's just kind of maybe live-stranded and then died. They would be really good specimens. Okay. But again, this is all about logistics. The sheer size of this animal alone makes it almost impossible to carry out an actual, if you like, a clinical post-mortem examination.
The logistics of then getting rid of it, or will the skeleton remain, and will it be used? Didn't Kill Britain, haven't they got a skeleton down there from a beached whale years ago?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that was a big process, and it's a big job. It's an expensive job, requires lots of manpower and lots of buy-in from the local community, if that's what's decided. But, you know, that's a project that takes, you know, a year, 2 years. Right. To, you know, you would need to flense the animal, get all the skin, all the blubber, all the muscle off it, remove all the internal organs, and then bury it in a big, long pit that would be whatever, you know, 20-metre pit, probably use the likes of horse manure, that's to get the microbial activity going, and then just basically bury it for 2 years. Right. And what you could potentially get at the end of it would be this fantastic skeleton. So it's a great opportunity, ticks lots of boxes: the education, the conservation, the local tourism box. But again, there's a lot of logistical issues with that, and one of the biggest issues here is access to the site. You'll have seen on the news the people walking down a narrow path to get down to it, so you can't actually get equipment to this site that you would need to get that process going. So I think it's going to be a real interesting one to see what way, you know, Kerry, the engineers in Kerry County Council decide. And, you know, there is a compelling case for just leaving it and letting Mother Nature run its course.
Final question, Padraig Hooley from the Irish Whale and Dolphin Group. Ambergris, is that how they pronounce it? Would there be any likelihood that there'd be a lump of that in this whale?
No, there wouldn't. So it's ambergris. And ambergris is only found in the stomachs of sperm whales. Aha, now, sperm whales are toothed whales, whereas the fin whale is a baleen whale. And just for your listeners, and you might kill me for this, Ray, your listeners are probably not aware that you photographed the first fin whale, the same species, with us back in 2003 in West Cork for the Wild Trials programme. Yeah. And that fin whale was the first fin whale on the Irish fin whale catalogue. And not surprisingly, Ray, we called him Ray.
I didn't know that, Patrick. I actually didn't know that. I don't know what sort of emotions
fin
I'm feeling right now.
Number one on the catalogue, the Irish fin whale catalogue, is called Ray after you, because you were the one who photographed it on this photographic challenge.
Yeah, I did. Day five, I think, the end of it. Anyway, Patrick Hooley, great talking to you. Thanks so much, Patrick. Talk to you soon.
Thanks,
bye
Ray.
Now. Bye. Gramaga Colm, thank you very much. 5 on 551 Ray at RTE.ie. Loads of summer childhood memories coming in. They're a great distraction for us. Thank you so much. Chips from the winning post at Curraghclough Beach, followed by the biggest 99. You had to push the flake to the bottom to really enjoy it. The pinball machine and table soccer. Long, long summer evenings listening to the jukebox. I still go to Curraghclough Beach when I get back home to Ireland. My favourite place in the world, most likely from the wonderful summers we spent there. That's Geraldine Robinson, who's obviously not in the country. And holiday memories as a 14-year-old Dublin boy from Ballymun out delivering bread for Lydon's Bakery of Air Square, Galway. The van driver's name was Mickey Kern. On the way back from the deliveries, we would call into his family home in Spittle to a big plate of freshly cooked new potatoes with butter melting over them and being told to help ourselves. That memory will never leave me. Thanks, Mrs. Kern and Michael Kern. There you go. And memories too many to relate, but going to Lahinch since I was 5 was walking with my dad from the digs to Ennistymon a few times a week, hiring 2 bikes, cycling to Liscannor for fresh fish, returning the bikes and walking back where the lady of the house cooked the fish. All the loved ones gone. But a tear the minute I hit Ennistymon, says Mary. And my favourite summer holidays were spent in Port Salon in the late 70s. That's up in Donegal in the early 80s. Having ice cream and football specials in Rita's. I don't believe Rita's or the hotel is still there, but we had great times. Days seemed to last forever, didn't they, Emma? And football special is a Donegal thing, isn't it? It's sort of like a rock shandy, I think. I think it's a mixture of something. Anyway, somebody will set me straight on that. The football special. What exactly was a football special? 5 on 551 for that. Now, 2 quizzers standing by. Yeah, and there is a prize, and whoever wins today will get a 2-night stay for 2 people at the Ainua Collections Dublin One Hotel, which is on the North Circular Road in Dublin. It's ideal for exploring Dublin city centre this summer. And you also get tickets for the Big Grill, which is happening 17th to 20th of August, with over 60 chefs, restaurants and barbecue experts from all over the world. DublinOneHotel.com, DublinOneHotel.com and BigGrillFestival.com. Joe Ahern, how are you doing, Joe?
Hurricane.
Good. You're in Kilworth in Cork.
Correct.
How are things down there?
Sure, great. The rain is staying away today, and it's a beautiful little village.
Yeah.
The Promised Land, we call it.
And whereabouts it? Whereabouts is it in Cork?
It's between Fermoy and Mitchelstown. It's just off the main road, if you know.
Yeah.
Because it's actually very close to Fermoy. Right. 5 minutes.
Aha. Uh-huh. And what's the population? Do you know?
Numbers, God, I don't know. There's been an influx in the last couple of years, and there's a lot of people coming down from the city because it's a very kind of quiet village, but it's very connected to Cork.
Yeah.
With the new motorway, so I suppose the population is on the rise. I couldn't tell you. I'd say could be 3,000.
All right.
So, okay. Yeah.
And you're a primary school principal, so you're on your holliers.
Yeah, principals are never on their holliers. I better get that out there. But the pressure is off. The pressure is off the moment.
And you were a nightmare in school, you say, your own words. So you don't know where the teaching came from.
I didn't know the researcher would be writing it all down.
that's what they do.
I suppose I was Yeah, I had my own agenda when I was young a lot of the time. But I had very enjoyable days in school, yeah. So I was always drawn. And I'd working with children as well is always something I was.
And Joe, does that give you an understanding then of I suppose children on the margins, if you like?
Yeah, I can spot them. Yeah, I can spot them straight away. I can nearly smell them.
Right, and you. I suppose you.
I know you understand. You understand. You can yes, see yeah. yourself, obviously. All like. You know, a rule of thumb, you can often see yourself in people. So when it comes to teaching and, you know, children who may not necessarily be 100% studious, you could just spot straight away that maybe there's little things going on.
Yeah, that's brilliant. Though. You know? That's brilliant that yeah. you have your antenna up for that sort of thing because of your own experience. Yeah. Any summer childhood memories?
Well, I was saying there, I spent a lot of my summers out in Glenahulla, or Marshalltown Cross, as it was known. It was just a little crossroads between Mitchelstown and Kildallery. It's real rural, my mother's home place. But I just spent it with my grandmother, and it was just myself and her, and our cousins would often come, and we'd all just be, you know, left to our own devices around the fields. The local primary school was next door to us. That was empty, so we had the kind of run of the playground yeah. there. And there was a little petrol station with you know, all the sweets you could ever want. And yeah. just great. They were great old days.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Rural farming kind of thing. And, we just went on adventures and stuff all the time.
And obviously, then had a great relationship with your grandmother.
Oh yeah, she was the ticket. Yeah, yeah. yeah. She was very funny, but she was very very loving. She was kind of. Yeah, she was, you know, she's a funny old character. Like, she always had the fag in the hand, and she was always cooking, cleaning, and she's great. She was a great woman.
Yeah.
Mrs. Mack.
Now, you're yeah. up against Julia Keaveney in Limerick. How are you doing, Julia?
I'm very good, Ray. How are you?
I'm good. You're on your way to Dingle.
I'm on my way to Dingle, I am indeed.
Whereabouts exactly are you then on your way to Dingle?
I'm stopped here in the stall outside a shop called Whelan's. And
right.
I've just seen the temperature gauge is reading 27, so it's a very nice day here.
What?
Yeah.
27? Is that working now? Is that a faulty thermometer?
I don't know. But the fields is here in the car. The pressure's on against the school principal, but anyway.
Yeah, and do you go to Dingle regularly?
No. Our youngest boy is down there on retreat for a couple of days, so we're going down to pick him up.
And you're going to stay over for a night?
No. Just travel down and pick him up and drive back.
Ah, come on.
I know. Has to be done, Ray. Has to be done.
Right, so that's a round trip of... Because, like, people think, oh, you're in Limerick to Dingle, sure, you're nearly there. You're not nearly there at all, are you?
No. It's about... Well, we live in a Skeeton in Limerick, so yeah. it's about... 2.25 hours from Skeeton down to Dingle. Yeah. So yeah, a nice spin ahead for the evening.
You'll have to stop and you'll have to stop there for a little bit, maybe have an ice cream or something like that.
You know, fish.
Well, ice cream or something.
Sean Murphy's ice cream and all that. You know, that's
and what about your childhood memories of summertime?
Well, definitely just coming back in the car, listening to you, it was definitely bringing something like tea to the field when they were doing the hay or something like
that.
You know, we used to have this big white bucket that you'd fill with tea and bring out to everybody in the field when they're doing the hay. That was kind of our thing.
A bucket full of tea.
It was a bucket of tea, right?
That's mad. Would it not taste the plastic?
I think they were kind of the steel buckets.
Oh, yes, yes. The tin buckets. Yes.
Yeah, very
good.
The smaller version of those.
Yeah, there's a hidden version. Now, you know the rules, Joe and Julia. Three questions. I give you the category and then I ask if you want a clue. If you go for a clue and get it right, you get a point. If you go without a clue, it's more difficult. So you get 2 points. So whoever has the most points at the end is the winner. If it's a draw on points, we go to a tie-break question. Good luck to you both. Here we go.
Thank you. Good luck, Joe.
Right, Joe.
Good luck, Joe. Rest of luck.
We're starting with music, Joe. Would you like a clue or not?
No.
No, okay.
No, thank you.
I can hear your younger self there. Nah.
Okay.
All right. For 2 points, who is this? I can buy myself flowers.
Write my name in the sand. Talk to myself for hours.
It's who?
That's Miley Cyrus.
It is, yes. The most listened to the song this year so far, Flowers. And you get 2 points for that. Well done, Joe. Thanks, Miley. Now, Julia.
Yes.
Music for you too. Do you want a clue or not?
No, I'll have to stick with no clue.
No
Joe,
clue.
I'll have to go.
And you've help in the car, don't you?
No, I've no help.
Oh, you're on your own. No, you're on your own. Okay, right.
I'm on my own.
Okay, sorry. Who is this for 2 points then? It's me.
Taylor Swift.
It is Taylor Swift. Yeah, anti-hero. Excellent. There you go. 2 points for you. Yes.
I can sing it, but I didn't know who it was.
Yeah, well, there you go. That's the way it is with TikTok and everything. Okay, 2 points all. Good start. Irish voices, Joe, is your next category. Irish voices.
I leave off the clue.
You don't want a clue?
No, thank you.
Okay, again.
Yeah. Right. Sorry now. But a lady is after walking past me in the school saying, I see you and I can hear you on the radio.
how did she know it's you?
Because I said I was outside the shoe shop.
Oh, yes, of course. Yes, yeah, yeah.
Gauge.
Yeah. She gone past
sorry,
you there. We could.
No,
that's good. Okay. Joe, sorry. Irish voices, 2 points. Who is this?
Out in the street, you know, there was no electronic stand really, so you'd just be out. The area was teeming with children, so you'd be out just using your imagination and playing games. And, you know, there was lots of games like 15 Buzz Off and Crocodile, and just you have to cross the road and there'd be some fella in the middle waiting on you. And there was loads of these games, sort of just making up games.
Who's that?
Joe. Steve Collins?
No, it's Damien Dempsey. Dempsey, yeah.
Yeah,
you're kicking yourself now. Okay, you still have two. Now, Julia, Irish voices, a chance for you to go in front. Do you want a clue or not?
Oh, give me a clue, Ray.
Give you a clue. Okay. Yeah. I don't know how helpful this will be, but here you go. She danced with the stars. She danced with the stars. Can you name this person, Irish voice, for 1 point?
But I think I was the kind of child that would not be forgotten. Right. No way. I wasn't going to allow that to happen. Oh, I was a very happy child. I don't know if I was boisterous. My mother said I was born smiling, and I think I smiled a lot in my youth, and probably up until the hormones kicked in my teenage years, I realised that you don't have to smile all the time.
Who's that?
I'm going to say Mary Black, but I don't
know
who it is.
No, it's Catherine Lynch. Catherine Lynch.
Oh,
okay.
Yes.
So that's even. No points from that round. So it's still 2-2. It's down to our final question. And the category, Joe, is cartoon characters. Cartoon characters. What do you want to do? Do you want to say again?
No clue.
Yeah,
gonna...
you sort of have to, don't you? Yeah.
I've watched a lot of cartoons now. It's bound to pay off.
Okay, right. Okay, fingers crossed here. For 2 points, can you name this cartoon character?
Doesn't matter how you feel inside, you know. It's what shows up on the surface that counts. That's what my mother taught me. Take all your bad feelings and push them down, all the way down, past your knees until you're almost walking on them. And then you'll fit in, and you'll be invited to parties, and boys will like you, and happiness will follow.
Who's that?
That's Marge Simpson.
It is Marge Simpson, yes. 2 points.
That's earlier footage, I'd say.
Is it? Yeah. Look, you're an expert. Connoisseur of The Simpsons. Right. You're on 4. That puts Julia under pressure because you have no choice, really, Julia, but to go without a clue.
Yeah, that's fair enough, Ray. But that's without a clue.
Yeah, without a clue. So can you name this cartoon character to keep you in the quiz and take us to a tiebreak question? Good luck.
Because I did what everyone said a kid couldn't do. I made it to Shell City, and I beat the Cyclops, and I rode the Hasselhoff, and I brought the crown back. So yeah, I'm a kid, and I'm also a goofball and a wingnut.
Who's that?
I'm going to say Bugs Bunny.
No.
No.
SpongeBob SquarePants.
Oh.
SpongeBob SquarePants.
Way after my time, really.
Yeah, yeah. Shell City was sort of the clue there, the underwater reference.
Oh.
Julia,
Great talking to you.
Congratulations, Joe. Yeah, lovely
talking
to you.
Yeah, lovely talking to you. And listen, drive carefully and good luck collecting Matthew.
You will indeed. Enjoy the Murphy's ice cream.
Yes,
take
and
care,
the fish and chips. Okay, see you, Julia. We're sending you out a radar show. Keep going. See you. Bye bye. Joe,
well done, Julia.
Joe.
Thanks, Ray.
Yeah, yeah. You're off to the one Dublin One Hotel. It's on the North Circular Road, ideal for exploring Dublin City. And you go to dublinonehotel.com and there's also tickets there for the Big Grill Festival, which is happening in August. Great talking to you, Joe.
Mind brilliant. Your, can I give a shout-out there to the kids? Can I give a shout-out to the Ahern kids there in Kilworth?
You're done. 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 There, the Ahern kids. Good good luck. See you.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, it started on Friday. Yeah, we've been on the hunt for the elusive Ornie's 2&2 bar. We were asking you on Friday which chocolate bar would you like to see back on the shelves, and there was a few others, but the majority of people wanted to see the 2&2 bar back. Yesterday we spoke to Karen Nolan. Karen is the great-great-granddaughter of Eileen Gallagher, and Eileen was the driving force behind Ornie's, who made the 2&2 bar. And Karen mentioned that there's a man we should talk to, and his name is Leo Cummins. So chapter 3, is it, in the 2&2 bar story. We have Leo Cummins here in studio from Hazelbrook Confectionery Newbridge. How are you doing, Leo?
I'm fine, Ray.
Good to see you.
So usual to get an email or about 2&2 at 4:30 in the afternoon yesterday. Normally, I get them at midnight or a bit after midnight, and normally there's an error in the spelling somewhere.
Right, and what's that? People in a pub discussing?
I think it must be, yeah. it seems to come up a lot in conversation when people are talking about.
There's a lot of affection
nostalgia.
For it, isn't there?
Oh, there is, yeah. Now, probably, as it last produced, 1985.
Right.
I think some of your callers yesterday said they got some in the 80s, and it was out in 85, and that was the last time it was made.
Right. You are Mr. Nostalgia Chocolate in this country. You've been doing it for a long time. Where did it start?
Yeah, well, I've always been in the sweet business. My father was a wholesaler of sweets, and then I'd done my thesis in college on the confectionery industry, and then we started manufacturing around 1980. And then in recent years, my business partner, David Stone, and myself, we've accumulated up a lot of the older brands that we bought over the years, and then we're gradually bringing them out because it takes a lot of time, money and know-how to do it. And we do it the hard way. We make it ourselves. We don't kind of subcontract it out or anything like that. So we're employing people down in Newbridge in our factory there. And we have 20 grade plus workers down there working away. And over the years, we've kind of, 2&2 was one that was always on the horizon. I always had planned it. But of all the products, it probably is the one with the most, needs the most money to do.
Because Karen was saying yesterday it's quite complicated. So the base is what, milk chocolate?
Yeah, the plant, I remember walking around it and I saw it last about 1984. And
so you saw it been made?
I saw it been made, No, a friend of mine, back it wasn't, as she said, it was in the Ornie days. Ornie then was bought by HB. HB had HB chocolates and HB ice cream. But they were owned by Unilever, and Unilever were making vegetable fats, and all their customers, they were supplying all the chocolate companies, and decided as a company they couldn't be competing with their customers. So they got out of chocolate. I remember going to the auction. I'd only started in the industry in 1980, and being beside a friend of mine, a guy I looked up to, he was kind of the most innovative guy at the time in the industry, Brian McMahon, and he married into the Dun Stores family. And Brian, his father, was a sales rep in Ornie, and Brian went after the 2&2 plant and he bought it.
Right.
Moved it to a plant he had set up in Finglas in McKee Avenue, and he started making Cleves, funnily enough, 2&2 bars in 1981. And the plant was, most kind of confectionery chocolate products, you would deposit the product, it would go down through a cooling tunnel and it would be packed. But in the case of 2&2, you first of all, you must remember the top of the product is the bottom of the product when you're making it, because you're inverting a mould.
Right.
So you deposited dark chocolate into a mould.
Which turns out to be the top, obviously.
Half a mould, half filled it. Then it went down through a cooling tunnel to be cooled, because it had to be reasonably solid to take the next stage. And then a depositor deposited in some white fondant. And then it went down another length, and another depositor deposited brown fondant, a kind of a fudge fondant. And then that went through a whole long cooling tunnel.
Right.
And then it came out and it went through a milk chocolate depositor. And then it had to be cooled as well. And it went through a whole process before it was demolded. And the problem was that when I bought it, Brian had got it going, and he was selling enormous quantities. Like, he was selling about, I'd say, 10,000 boxes a week, going really well for him. And unfortunately for him, the cocoa market went through one of its funny periods, and he got caught, lost money, and the business unfortunately went under. So I went in, and I was interested in getting the machinery. So we bought the machinery. Another friend of mine, we were setting up another business as well. He bought the plant. He wanted the building for putting in a jelly plant. So he bought the building and we bought the machinery. But the machinery was too big for my factory. Like, it was probably three times the size.
Great story, Leo.
So I mothballed it for a long time.
Yeah.
And the problem would be that to bring it back, A, you needed a huge factory, and B...
big is it?
Oh, it would take about at least probably, I'd say, 120 metres in length.
What?
And it would use a lot of energy as well.
120 metres?
Yeah, between all the cool... Every time you see your coolers, you have to go through a long process. Right. And... it wouldn't be efficient to make it on that particular plan now. Now, things have moved on, but we bought it and didn't do anything with it. Took parts of it and made other products with parts of the machine, okay, simpler products. And then that jelly company went under in about 13 or 14 years later, and I bought the brands from that company because it had the brands in there. So we got Arnie and Cleves and 2&2 and Beano's and...
So you own Arnie's 2&2.
We bought all those brands, yeah.
Okay.
And then, we'd also bought Hadji Bay down in Cork. So Arnie kind of had its origins on the Tyrone Donegal border, but then moved in 1924 to the next aerodrome in Talla.
Yeah.
And apart from maybe Glenabbey, Arnie was the only thing out in the country in Talla. It employed about up to 600 people at one stage. That was 1924 when it moved, and the Free State were giving grants for people to set up new industries. We had bought Hadji Bay in Cork, which had a great history, but I mean, you and I might know it at the time because it was very gentry. It was all, if you were very posh, you kind of bought Hadji Bay in Cork.
Right,
and it was, and even today, we still only sell it in Brown Thomas and Ivory Hope and very premium outlets, but we also sell it in the UK a lot of times.
Just go back to 2&2 then, because by your description, there was so much involved that it must have come at a premium price then, did it? Was it a high-end?
No, it was a standard chocolate bar. No, basically, Arnie were kind of competing with Cadbury's and Rowntree.
Yeah.
Mars weren't on the market because of the EU. There was a lot of embargoes and so on. It wasn't free trade as such. So
yeah.
Arnie were kind of the third player. And HP had tried to create three mega brands when they kind of had their input in, and they redeveloped some of the Arnie ones, which was mainly 2&2, Catch Bar, which is still out today, now produced in Malta.
Catch It If You Can.
Yeah, and then Beano's, which is another one, which are kind of a poor man's Smarties, as it were, almost at the time. And then they had a range of chocolate bars with various ones, cream cocktail, pet bars, pirate bars, a whole variety of ones. But
so here, because I'm looking
2&2
at the
is unique.
Top there. Yes, it is unique.
And we looked all over the world, and there's no one else actually makes a product like it.
Okay.
We have a product, Ice Caramels, that we make. No one else in the world makes Ice Caramels.
Right.
So we seem to specialise in things that are a little bit difficult and a bit unique.
So where are we at then? You know, because there's an affection for it out there.
We've brought back Hadji Bay to great success. We're now bringing back a lot of the Cleves products to great success. We've Ice Caramels back, we've Slab Toffee back, we're bringing a range of chocolate bars, and we're bringing fudge back now under Cleves. And that'll be all completed probably by the end of this year. All produced in Newbridge. And kind of the funding from that, I think, will now create the next focus for the next 2 years. We'll be now plowed into getting 2&2 back.
Right. If you get 2&2 bar back, we will do an OB from the place on the day of the launch. Is that a deal? So you've obviously had to streamline it, so it's not 120 metres long anymore.
Yeah. Well, modern technology has made cooling much more condensed.
Right, okay.
So, but it will be an expensive process. It's probably, you're looking at equipment that could be up to €1 million. Now, there's probably, I know the game well. We probably will find machinery.
And are you going to be true to the original recipe?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, we have all the recipes. We have the molds themselves.
Right.
We have the wrapping machines, different, more modern, but they'll do the same thing of a foil and band chocolate bar with that wrapper around it. My big dilemma is, do I call it Arnie, or do I brand it as Arnie, or brand it as Cleves? Because it was sold as both in its time.
Yes. Well, Arnie came first. And I think in memory of the great Eileen, who started the whole thing out, what do you think?
Well, it's hard to know. Cleves was a fantastic history
right,
as
okay,
well.
Right, okay. Well, we'll have to, you, leave that
we'll
up
have
to
a,
you.
Maybe we'll yeah. have a
Leo, I'm delighted now. So that's where we have to park the story of the two and two for the moment. But you're going to come back to us and keep in contact.
We'll be working hard on
it. Yeah, great to see you.
Okay, right.
Thanks for coming in. Leo Cummins there. That's it from us. Sarah and Cormac are on Drive Time. We are back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday evening.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.